I assure you, sir, Jones went on, that we shall have ample time to review our plan to the last detail, and that I shall not proceed with any plan before seeking your counsel. As to the risks, I remind you that we are at war. War necessitates taking risks, even when those risks seem insurmountable. Given what I am convinced will be the result of our efforts, I believe the risks are worth taking. As to our present cruise, Ranger is a naval vessel, and as such, we must demand naval discipline of ourselves and our crew. Beginning today at 3 bells in the afternoon watch, and every day to follow with the exception of Sundays, we'll clear for action and drill with guns, small arms, swords, and pikes. We have powder enough, but limited round shot. For that reason, we must delay live drills with the guns until their crews have mastered the basics. In addition, I want those crews at their stations every morning at dawn, prepared to fire. The odds are small, I grant you, but the cloak of night, once lifted, could reveal our enemy close by. That is not all, he said, his voice rising with pique, aimed at his first and second lieutenants, who were staring at each other and not at him. Each day at 4 bells in the forenoon watch, we will conduct a different sort of drill. Let's see how long it takes to send the topsail yard down to a gantlin and haul it back up with a capstan. In a storm, gentlemen, we won't have time to consider what should be done. We must react to what must be done, which is to get those spars off her as rapidly as possible. The same holds true in battle. Should we lose a mast or piece of rigging, or be hauled by the enemy, every man on this ship must know what to do at that moment. Improper training breeds doubt, and I needn't tell you, gentlemen, that hesitation in battle could mean the loss of our ship and our lives. You have your orders, he said, concluding the meeting in more normal tones. They are not open to discussion. Unless you have specific questions of me, you are excused to your duties until 3 bells. Officers scraped back their chairs and began filing out of the cabin in order of rank, the 4 midshipmen last. Mr. Cutler, a word, if you please, said Jones unexpectedly. Richard stood at attention in front of the settee until the others had gone and they were alone. I shan't keep you long, Jones said, sitting down at the table and beckoning Richard over. I haven't had much opportunity to speak to you privately since you arrived in Portsmouth. All is well, I trust. Yes, Captain, thank you. You're finding your way about the ship?
I am, sir. Mr. Hall is right. She's a fine ship. With a few repairs, she'll make us all proud.
It seems that's the one point we can all agree on, Jones said wearily. He rubbed his eyes with his fingers. Changing the subject, I note with interest your friendship with Mr. Crabtree. I understand why. He may be a bit odd in his ways, but in my opinion he has the makings of a fine naval officer. It's why I selected him. He is well regarded in Portsmouth shipping circles. As for you, Mr. Cutler, I must say you have established a rapport with the crew that in my experience is really quite remarkable. Chain of command involves respect going down as well as up. It's a difficult concept for many officers to grasp. You seem to have mastered it rather quickly.
Perhaps, Captain, that's because I have served before the mast in my father's ships. I've lived their life and know how demanding such a life can be.
Worse even than that of a midshipman, smiled Jones.
Hardly that bad, sir, Richard replied, returning the smile.
Yes, well, whatever it is, the men do what you ask, and they appear to do it willingly. That, I assure you, is a rarity at sea.
There was a knock on the door. Jacob Walden, surgeon's mate, doubling as captain's steward, entered the cabin holding a tray.
Your dinner, Captain. Would you be having it now?
Leave it on the table, Walden,
Jones replied, adding, when the door was shut, without so much as a glance at what was in store for him.
I'd wish my steward's talents on Admiral Howe himself. That would end this war soon enough. Black Dick would choke just looking at what my steward sets before me.
He heaved a heartfelt sigh of regret before changing the subject again.
What do you make of my plan to use Ranger as a one-ship invasion force, as Mr. Simpson describes it?
It's bold, Captain, replied Richard, having given the matter some thought during the previous few minutes.
Bold?
Yes, sir. It's bold because it doesn't rely on success. American Marines landing on British soil will have its effect, no matter the outcome.
Jones banged his fist on the table. Thank you, Mr. Cutler. I see my confidence in you is not misplaced. Have no doubts. You shall land with the Marines at Whitehaven. I promised you revenge, and by God, you shall have it.